Hello, everyone, and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we begin day two of our lifestyle article. We are on page 17, and back in the studio with me, I have Amanda and Linda. Welcome, panelists.
Thank you.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Very good.
Did you have a good night's sleep?
Yeah, not bad.
How about you, Linda?
It was okay.
Okay. Well, we have more tips, so... You know, we learned four tips yesterday, and we also have a few more today. So what did we learn yesterday, Amanda?
Well, we learned that sometimes after you've had a lousy night of sleep, we need some help. And when we mean lousy, we mean a bad night's sleep. And one of the things we learned is to not delay getting up first thing when your alarm goes off. So they were saying don't push that snooze button. Just get up, get out of bed, and get on with it.
Okay, that's a good reminder. What else did we learn yesterday, Linda?
We also learned, if you drink coffee and, you know, you rely on caffeine to give you that kick in the morning, give it a chance to kick in. Don't drink, several cups all at once. Wait, because it takes a little bit of time for the caffeine to start working in your body, and then pace yourself as you go throughout the morning.
And I think we need to be careful not to rely on caffeine too much. It's easy to do that. You think, I'm not getting enough sleep. That's okay. I'll just have an extra cup of coffee tomorrow or whatever. If you do that too often, that could create a very bad habit, and you could become addicted, and that could cause problems. So instead of doing that, hopefully can find ways to have a better night's rest. Yesterday, we also learned a very important tip, number three, avoid dwelling on it. Don't just dwell on the fact that, I'm so tired. It will make things worse, and other people around you, maybe they will become tired as a result because of your attitude. So try to keep a positive attitude, even though you may be a bit sleepy. Well, today we're going to continue talking about how to combat a bad night's sleep, which is important. So let's open up our magazines to page 17, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Five, keep your phone in your bag. If you want to stay productive at work, turn off your email notifications and power down your phone. It's best to stay on task and then take more breaks to go outside for a quick walk, Doe says. 6. Don't skip breakfast. Breakfast sends a powerful signal to your brain that it's time to wake up, Doe says, since food intake is intricately associated with our internal clocks. The better your nutrition on a sleep-deprived day, the more energy you'll be able to salvage. Research shows that sleep deprivation messes with our brain activity, convincing us that things like donuts and French fries are absolute necessities. Unfortunately, both will only make you more sluggish, Doe says, so stick to smaller meals and a couple of snacks on your most tiring days. 7. Let the sunshine in. Sleep experts say natural sunlight first thing in the morning helps communicate to our brains that it's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed time. The more you're outside, the better, Doe says of the days after terrible nights of sleep. At minimum, get in an early morning walk and another stroll in the afternoon when you feel that inevitable slump coming on, she says.
Okay, where is your phone when you're at work? Is it on your desk? Are you constantly looking at it? What should we do, especially if we've had a bad night's sleep and we need to be productive? Where should we put our phone, Amanda?
Well, we should put our phone away. So just away from us so that we stay productive while we're working. So whatever it takes for you to do that. Here it says you should turn off your email notifications so that it doesn't ring or buzz while you're working.
It says to turn it off, right?
Yeah, and it even goes on to say power down your phone, which means to turn it off completely.
I don't even think most people know where that button is on their phone.
It's true.
First, you have to learn where that is. But I do think this is very practical, Linda.
Yes. Normally, I always keep my phone on silent. Mm-hmm. I do have it there on my desk, but I always keep it silent so it doesn't bother me. I mean, I'll see messages come up, but I don't have to respond to them, or I don't have to pay attention to it.
It can definitely be a distraction if it's in your line of sight, right? Mm-hmm. And you're trying to work, and you stop to do that, and it breaks up things.
But then the problem is that I have some of those apps. I have the computer program, like, you know, installed on my computer. So I'll still get those notifications, like email. I guess we're talking about personal email notifications here, not work email notifications.
Maybe
but
so.
Some people do, like, if they really want to get work done, they'll turn off their work email notifications as well. So they won't see any work email that's coming in.
Ooh, that's a good idea. All right, it's best to stay on task and then take more breaks to go outside for a quick walk. And this is Doe, and we met Alice Doe yesterday. She is a sleep medicine specialist in Michigan. And so if you want to stay on task, you know, it's best to turn that phone off. But it's okay to take some breaks, right, Amanda?
Yeah, it's okay to take some breaks. And I think, you know, by going outside for a quick walk, you're getting the circulation going. But I know that it will also give you some fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it's important to do that. If you just sit at your computer, if you're working in an office, of course you need to get up and do something different to have a, you know, a break from all of that. But maybe don't go from your computer screen to your phone screen. Maybe that's not the kind of break you need.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's what you do with your phone. What about breakfast? Don't skip it, Linda.
Right. Breakfast is important because it sends a powerful signal to your brain that tells that it's time to wake up.
Well, I don't think anybody has to tell me that breakfast is important. I've got that one down, so I don't normally skip breakfast, but it can be tempting. Some people can go without it, but we have some good words here as well, don't we, Amanda? Let's look at that word intricately.
Yeah, intricately means that it's detailed and could be complicated, but it's woven in somehow to whatever it's talking about. So here it's saying that food is very much a part and connected to our internal clocks.
Okay, and so when we take in that food, it does something, it helps us, right? Gives us kind of a boost. And the better your nutrition on a sleep-deprived day, the more energy you'll be able to salvage. And so just before this, they talk about that internal clock. That's actually kind of an interesting phrase there, Linda. We often maybe hear the term body clock. What does internal clock really refer to?
Right. So, you know, we are on a 24-hour cycle. And so our body responds to certain stimulus, like when we see light, you know, that tells us to wake up. And so certain stimuli will affect our internal clock. And that's why when we travel to other countries where there's a different time zone, our internal clocks are also affected. Like, that's why we get jet lag, because we're still on the old time system and our bodies have to adjust.
All right. But if you are sleep deprived, it's even more important to eat, because that will at least give us some energy, hopefully. And the more energy we're able to salvage, the better.
Yeah, and so salvage here, you know, means to recover the energy or whatever's left over to use that well. Because it says here, the better your nutrition on a sleep-deprived day, the more energy you'll be able to salvage. So basically it's saying your nutrition will provide you with the energy that you need so that it can help recover or even replace from the lack of sleep that you've got.
Kind of keep or use that energy that you as much energy as you can get, right?
Mm.
So research shows that sleep deprivation messes with our brain activity. That's not news, is it, right? So deprivation, meaning you don't get enough of something.
Mm-hmm. It affects our brain activity. And if you don't get enough sleep, that can really affect how you think over a long period of time. It can also cause you to maybe have a mental breakdown. That has happened in the past. But hopefully, you know, nobody gets to that extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But some effect can be convincing
yeah.
us that things like donuts mm-hmm. and French fries are necessities in our
mm-hmm.
lives.
But aren't they necessities? Maybe I'm sleep deprived right now. Yeah, but when you don't have enough sleep, you can see some very, really unhealthy food and think that, oh, I need that, right?
Mm.
Because there's just something that goes on in our body that it makes us feel that way. But I think I always want a donut, honestly.
I think, well, that's good for you, Brandon. But, I think that also donuts and French fries kind of link into the fact, you know, you want to do something that comforts you,
mm.
right? So if you mm. enjoy that food and that brings comfort to you, you tend to be drawn to it because you want to cheer yourself up. But as a consequence, it's not better nutrition.
That's right. So you need something that is nutritious that will give you energy if you're sleep deprived. You need that at any time, but even more so, I think, when you haven't had a good night's sleep mm. because you need to salvage all the energy you can.
Right. Those things might be tempting, but unfortunately, they'll just end up making you more sluggish. They might give you a small boost, you know, from
yes.
that sugar, but then that sugar will run out and then you'll feel
just crash, right?
Slower,
after
yeah.
the sugar rush.
And less energetic.
And we all know what it's like to feel sluggish. That's not fun, especially if you have a lot of work to do and you're
mm-hmm.
feeling sluggish. So it's important to make sure you watch what you eat. That's part of looking after yourself. And so this is another tip from Doe. And she says, stick to smaller meals and a couple of snacks on your most tiring days. And so you don't have to eat a huge meal, but some smaller meals, and throw some snacks in there. Okay, but what if you're not a breakfast person, Linda?
Well, if somebody is not a morning person, it doesn't have to be a big breakfast, or if you're not a breakfast person, right? You can have a shake
mm.
or a smoothie and even put coffee in that, so
ooh.
You have your caffeine in there. Yeah, just as long as the breakfast provides you with a good balance of protein, complex carbs, carbohydrates, and healthy fats.
Okay. What are some things that maybe you usually eat for breakfast? Do you have smoothies sometimes, or what do you have, Amanda?
Yeah, usually my smoothie is like protein powder, banana, blueberries, anything like that.
That's good. That sounds pretty healthy.
I usually don't have time to make smoothies in the morning, although that would be nice. I usually have my bagel. Yeah.
Ooh.
I have my daily bagel. Mm-hmm. But always like fruit or yogurt is you know, something good and
yeah.
easy and quick.
Right. Mm. Sometimes I have like a peanut butter bagel or, you know, I usually just grab a breakfast sandwich because that's the easiest thing
mm-hmm.
to do. Occasionally, maybe I'll have cereal or something like that, or oatmeal. But normally, it's the quickest thing I can find.
Right, in the morning because you're in a rush.
Right.
But they in the picture on page 17, right in the middle of the page, they do have some good options for breakfast there. They show food and oatmeal and yogurt and smoothie there and nuts.
That's what I would
fruit.
Like to eat, but that would take some time, right?
Well, it doesn't have to be that difficult. I mean, like the fruit and nuts, that's something that you can even take
yeah.
to go.
And you can prepare some things at night, too,
mm-hmm.
before so it's
yeah.
ready the next morning.
Just stick it in the fridge.
Well, that's all about breakfast, and we also learned about our phone, of course, what to do with that. And what is tip number 7, Amanda?
Says, let the sun shine in. And earlier, Linda mentioned that our body responds to certain stimulus and, sleep being one of them, but also light is one of them. And so here, sleep experts say that natural sunlight, first thing in the morning, helps communicate to our brains that it is bright-eyed and bushy-tailed time.
This is great advice, but if you live in an area where you don't get a lot of sunshine, like, for example, if you live here in Taipei, we don't always have a lot of sunshine, depending on the day, of course. But if you do, it's a nice sunny day, it's important to maybe open up those curtains in the morning. That does make you want to get up and get out of bed.
Yeah, I think even if it's not sunlight or it's just daylight, it's probably better than the artificial light. So just drawing your curtain.
That's true.
It can even help you just wake up naturally.
That's right. And it communicates to our brains that it's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. What in the world? What is that? We're talking about rabbits or what?
It just means that you're wide awake and you're alert and you're ready to take on your day.
All right. You're happy. You're eager to get up in the morning.
I do feel like, though, it must have some kind of origin and something to do with animals. You know, like dogs, they come to their owners, you know, with big eyes.
Yes.
And that tail is wagging.
That's right.
So I think it's trying, you know, it's something about that kind of picture.
I think I can count on my hand how many times I felt like that in the morning. I'm not usually that ready to get up. That's pretty excited about the day. Well, the more you're outside, the better, Doe says, of the days after terrible nights of sleep. And so maybe if you have time for a walk in the morning, you may not because you didn't get much sleep, so you probably you don't have time to get up and do that. But maybe at lunch or something you can take a walk. It's good to kind of get some exercise. And so what does she say? At minimum, do what?
That you should get an early morning walk or another stroll in the afternoon, because around, in the afternoon after lunch, you're going to get that inevitable slump. Like we always get that after lunch, you know, tiredness and sleepiness, even if we've had a good night's sleep. So be prepared.
All right. That word inevitable means that it's going to happen, right? And you feel like this slump, this tiredness is coming. And so maybe to kind of fight against that, you can go for a walk. Now, I do want to encourage you. Maybe you think, I don't have time for a walk or anything like that. Well, do you have a few minutes to spare during your lunch break? Maybe it's just a 15-minute or 20-minute walk. I have some coworkers that do that. So after you eat, maybe you can go for a short walk in the park or somewhere near your workplace. You can make time for things if you get a little bit creative and just think about it, right, and schedule it in, make it happen. So let the sun shine in, and then we talked about eating breakfast and your phone. Next, we have two more tips in our last reading for today, so let's find out what they are there in the right-hand column on page 17.
Eight. Force yourself to move for a little bit. While it feels like the last thing you can drag yourself to do at the moment, exercising is basically guaranteed to help. Exercise improves blood circulation, which in turn improves attention. So, sneak in a brisk walk before an important meeting when you're really feeling zonked. 9. Take a nap. Maybe. There's pretty convincing research on the benefits of making time for a siesta. Just 10 minutes can result in immediate improvements in cognitive performance and energy. Just make sure you're following a few important napping rules. First, no more than 20 to 30 minutes. Longer than that, and you risk entering deep sleep, and you're likely to feel worse than you did to begin with, Doe says. Keep it early, preferably 5 hours or more before bedtime.
All right, it's time to move. We just talked about taking a walk. Well, maybe you can even go for a run or go play some sports or something like that. It's probably the last thing you want to do, right, when you're tired. But you have to force yourself to do it, Amanda.
Yeah, you may need to drag yourself or convince yourself to do it at that moment. But it says here that exercising is basically guaranteed to help. So any kind of movement is going to help. Why? Because exercise improves your blood circulation.
Okay, now what are some simple exercises that we can do, you know, that doesn't take a lot of time? What do you like to do for exercise, Linda?
Well, I like to go cycling.
Okay, that's pretty simple.
Yeah, as long as you have a bicycle, or you might have, you know, a convenient place where you can rent a bike.
That's right.
Like we have here in Taipei.
Yes, and so there's many ways to get a bike here. And what do you like to do, Amanda?
Either I like to go walking, or I like to dance. Mm-hmm. Dance in my living room, just move around like that.
Yeah, I think it's important to do what you enjoy doing and do that kind of exercise, as long as it's not, you know, too tough on your body or something like that. But then you'll probably actually end up doing it more often. I like to run. I use that word like kind of lightly because, you know, I don't always like it, but I think it's probably the easiest kind of exercise I could do because I can just go right outside of my apartment and I just go. I don't need anything. I just go for a run. So I like that. Well, so you need to force yourself to do it maybe. It improves your blood circulation, which in turn improves attention. So sneak in a brisk walk. Now, that's important there. It improves your attention, and that's what you want if you're having to, you know, go to work, right, Linda?
Right. You need to pay attention to whatever you're doing or, basically at any job that we're at, we need to be focused.
All right. What is a brisk walk versus, I guess, just a regular or slow walk?
It's faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your normal walk would be at a moderate pace, but a brisk walk means you're walking quite fast.
All right. So you can do this maybe before that important meeting when you're going to feel really zonked.
Really tired or exhausted.
That's, I guess, kind of an informal way of saying you're tired, right? Okay. So move a little bit. That's tip number 8. Number 9 is take a nap. Maybe. What are they referring to here, Linda?
Well, taking a nap might be good, but it also could backfire on you depending on, if you take too long of a nap or, so that's why they put the maybe in parentheses.
Well, I can't really do naps because it takes me about a half hour to even fall asleep, maybe more. I think the other day I tried to take a nap for like an hour. I set my alarm for an hour. I don't even know if I fell asleep at all. So I guess it's just out of the question. I think I'm thinking, okay, I have to fall asleep, go to sleep, and I can't. So anyway, it's sad. Okay, so there's pretty convincing research on the benefits of making time for a siesta. Now let's talk about that word siesta. That's actually taken from Spanish, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. And in Spain and in a lot of Latin American countries, they have a siesta during the day, which is a rest in the middle of the day. When we, you know, when we get that slump, they actually go sleep.
And it's a rather long period of time. Is it a couple of hours or something?
I think it's about 3 hours. Yeah,
wow.
Either a couple hours, 3 hours. Yeah.
But what they do is they work later, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. So they still, you know, maybe might work an 8-hour day, but then they just work later to make up for those napping hours.
So maybe they're more productive. I don't know. Maybe we should try that. I'm not sure. But anyway, of course, they are just talking about a nap. That's a word we sometimes use as well, siesta. Just 10 minutes can result in immediate improvements. Now, can you just take a 10-minute nap? That's my question. Some people can do that. We call those power naps.
Mm-hmm.
But if I ever fall asleep, I want to stay asleep longer than that. How about you, Amanda?
There have been occasions where I can take a power nap, but there are other times where I haven't been able to.
Okay, but if you... you sleep too long, it can cause some problems. That's what we'll talk about in a minute. But before we get there, that power nap really helps us with our cognitive performance and energy, Linda.
Right. So for our brain to function better and also to give us more energy, that power nap can really help. But, yeah, you have to make sure it's a power nap. At the most, 30 minutes. Yeah.
Okay.
Normally, power naps can be 15 to 20 minutes.
So here are the napping rules. Just what Linda said. First, no more than 20 to 30 minutes. Longer than that, and you risk doing what?
You risk entering a deeper sleep cycle, and you're more likely to feel worse than you did to begin with.
And it's true, you know.
I think we've all done that.
Right, we have. You feel bad. You're like, why did I even do that, right?
Yeah.
So keep it early, preferably 5 hours or more before bedtime. Because sometimes I think if you take a nap too late, mm-hmm. then you don't want to fall asleep.
Right, you can't fall asleep.
Yeah, I know a friend, I think, he said even if he took like a 10-minute nap, he couldn't sleep
really?
At night. I'm like, mm-hmm. wow. That's pretty incredible. So anyway, so be careful with the naps, but they can be helpful, especially if they aren't too long.
Mm.
Well, maybe you want a snack. Maybe you're hungry right now. There are some snacks that give you energy. What are some of those, Amanda?
Well, some of them are in the picture that Linda mentioned earlier, but it says reach for nuts, an apple with peanut butter, or carrots and hummus between meals. And this is according to Doe. She recommends this, and she says, pile on the veggies, which are vegetables, for lunch and dinner with chicken, fish, or beans for protein.
Sounds healthy. I haven't had hummus in a while. I like to eat hummus. What do you usually eat with hummus, Linda?
I usually eat it with bread or crackers,
mm-hmm.
carrots, cucumbers.
And it's just a spread made from chickpeas, right?
Right.
Yeah, so it's good, and you can have many different flavors with that, or you can eat it with some vegetables. I've had, like it says here, with carrots
mm-hmm.
and hummus and so forth. And so these are some good foods, some snacks that will hopefully give you some energy. And I hope that you will rest well and maybe go to bed a little bit earlier. That I'm kind of talking to myself there, actually. But these are some things that we can put into practice if we do not get a good night's sleep. Well, thank you for joining us for day two of our lifestyle article. We hope you will come back tomorrow. We're going to continue our lifestyle article, but we will be talking about brain food. Sounds interesting, right? Well, join us tomorrow. Until then, this is Brandon,
Linda,
and Amanda
saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.